Welcome to the New Kind of Man podcast. This is episode 14. We are clicking along. And in this episode, we're going to talk about work and the value of work and maybe the reason why work feels like, well, work. It would be awesome at the end of this podcast if you would hit that subscribe button. If this podcast has meant something to you, share it with another friend. That would be awesome. Take a snapshot on your phone, if you're listening by phone. Take a snapshot on your phone of your podcast player. Put that on your social media feeds. Share this around. Tell your friends. Put the link up on your social media feeds. Get the message out about this podcast. There are some incredible podcasts coming. I have secured an interview with Stephen Mansfield. That'll be happening soon. Larry Hagner from The Dad Edge or The Good Dad Project. Maybe you know him from that. He is going to be on soon. I have these guys and so many more high caliber men just on cue, ready to be dropped on their given week. So make sure you subscribe and don't miss a beat. Welcome to the New Kind of Man podcast, where we are growing stronger and more capable men. We believe that every man can be a good man, and we are here to help men on their journey to become new men. These men will become better at leading themselves and better at leading in their homes and workplaces. Paul the Apostle gave the command to put on the new man. On this podcast, I interview people who've become new men relationally, physically, spiritually, or intellectually. This happens through their stories of stretching, grit, and determination. We want the good, the bad, and the ugly, so we all can become better men. So let's get after it. So recently on Instagram, I made a post that said this: aim for purpose, not success. If you hit purpose, you get both. Purpose is rooted in identity, and that is largely about others. And success is about ego, and it's about you. And if you chase purpose, you find success. If you chase success, you will find yourself empty. But yet when you chase purpose, it will lead to wholeness. Now, what does this look like as far as your job, your vocation, what it is that you do for a living? Can you find your purpose in your job? Are you working out of a calling while you're in the middle of your job? That's really what we're going to get to today in this podcast. And one of the things I want us to start with, and I have a couple scriptures here for you. You know that, maybe you know, maybe you don't, my profession, actually, I am a full-time pastor. That's what I do. And I love to work with men, and I've worked with men for about 18 years, so that's something else I do. But with A New Kind of Man, my work is centered in glorifying God and bringing good to the world. So largely, I believe that that's what work is about also. And this is rooted in this truth. In Genesis 2:15, it says this: the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and to care for it. The word work it means work, be worked, serve, worship, or be made to serve. So our work is a way to worship God. Our work is a way to serve God and serve others. Also, the words take care of it means to keep or watch over and guard. Our work has such meaning. I realize that it doesn't always feel wonderful, but our work has such meaning. As a matter of fact, when a man or woman works with honor and integrity, they display the image of God more brilliantly. Here's what I mean. We were all made in the image of God, and part of us as human beings being made in the image of God, as far as our work is concerned, when we work and we do so with honor and integrity, we're displaying something about God to the world. We are glorifying God whenever we use our work for what it was intended to be used for. Stephen Pressfield, he said this in a great book that I read recently called Do the Work. He said, our deepest fear is not that we are inadequate. Our deepest fear is that we are powerful beyond measure. It is our light, not our darkness, that most frightens us. Then he adds this, and I think this is just a brilliant part of his quote. And that book I would highly recommend to you to read. to help you find value in your work. But here's the other quote that I will just drop from that work, from the book rather. He says, "We were made to manifest the glory of God that is within us, not just some of us, all of us." So we were made to manifest the glory of God within us. And I believe that one of the ways that we do this is through work. And when we work with honor and integrity, and when we work purely for our self-interest, now here's the transition, when we work for our self-interest, we essentially are glorifying ourselves. But when we work to serve others, and as a way of glorifying God, that we do bring that glory to God, and we love our neighbor well. David Ben Huron, he said this. He says, "We do not consider manual work as a curse." I love how he says this. "We do not consider manual labor as a curse or a bitter necessity, not even as a means of making a living. We consider it as a high human function, as a basis of human life, the most dignified thing in the life of a human being and which ought to be free and creative," he says. "Men ought to be proud of it." We ought to be proud of our work. Because our work, as it is our calling as men. Many times that people in religious circles, they throw the term calling around and we think, oh, calling, that's the person who's the preacher, he's the pastor, that's the missionary, that's the person who's maybe even crazy about their faith. Ooh, that person, he's got a calling, he's set apart. And there's something to that, to being called in that way. But I believe that every man is being called to glorify God in his work. That's part of our calling. So we all have a divine calling. Men, if you're listening to me right now, we have a divine calling to work to the glory of God. Three primary questions that we ought to consider as far as this glorifying God with our work. Here's three primary things we ought to consider. Is God glorified? So in our motive for working, is God glorified? Another one, is this bringing good into the world? Third question, how is it showing love for our neighbor? How is it showing love for our neighbor? So you may think, whoa, wait. Are you saying that I can work for the glory of God and be a cook or to just be a cleaner, a janitor, cut grass, turn a wrench? You're saying those things can be done to the glory of God? I'm saying absolutely. Every one of these things and so many more, I mean, you can be a barista and you can make coffee. And in the process of making coffee, and you make that coffee, what you could do is showing love for your neighbor by making a delicious cup of coffee. If you're going to make a latte as a barista, and you make that latte, you make it pleasing to the eye and pleasing to the taste in a way of, and what does coffee do around the world? Coffee brings people together. So that's a great way. Something maybe you didn't even think of, like, well, it's just a barista. They are just making me coffee. Yes. But what coffee does, it brings people together, and it's an opportunity for people to come together. Cleaning, you know, putting things in order, positions of service, law enforcement, armed forces, factory jobs, education, engineering jobs, all of these display something about God. God is orderly. God is just. We're to be people who uphold the justice in our land and to respect the laws of our land. Even engineering, I think about just a picture that I put on Instagram recently, and it was this picture of just this cityscape, and it was beautiful. And I look at all of the architecture and engineering that goes into those pictures. Just envision the picture right now of just this cityscape, New York City or large city without smog. And just think about this city, and it's just the beautiful architecture of the buildings, and it's just incredible. And all of that, all of the geometry and the artisanship and the craftsmanship and the engineering and everything that goes into it, all of the sweat that goes into it is displaying something about God. It's an amazing thing. There's even some just general benefits from work. And I got all of these from Psychology Today. It's many times our best friends are actually from work. A sense of stability. Even if our life seems out of sync, we have a sense of stability when you're working. It's like, hey, here's my purpose. I'm going to work, and my purpose is working right now. And maybe some other things are chaotic in your life, but yet it adds that stability of, I know what I'm going to do tomorrow. I'm going to go to work. You know, happy people, they make more money. It's proven. According to psychologist Martin Seligman in Authentic Happiness, in his book, he said happy workers tend to get higher pay and better performance assessments than their unhappy coworkers. Happy people make more money. So when you go to work and you go into it with a good attitude, like, hey, I'm actually doing this for a purpose, you're going to be more content, you're going to be happier, and happier people make more money. You want to make more money? Go into work willingly and eagerly and not stubbornly. Another thing, a benefit from work is the intellectual challenge. You know that I have four pillars to this work. There's spiritual, intellectual, physical, and relational. Those are the four pillars. This feeds right into one of the pillars, work does. The intellectual challenge. It's amazing when you're posed with the problem. Years ago, I used to work on airplanes. And day to day, I didn't know what airplane I was going to be working on or what kind of airplane I was going to be working on. So while a few things were similar, but they were still vastly different, and then I'd have to go in and it would be trying to figure things out and gain a knowledge and looking at prints or looking at a schematic and trying to figure out, you know, what's going on and how can I fix it or how can I clean it? How can I inspect it? All of it posed a great intellectual challenge. And men, you have these things in your life as well. There's also a bit of self-worth that just comes from work. Self-worth and self-respect. I'll tell you, whenever I served in the Navy and I had the opportunity of serving this great country for 4 years, and I was grateful to be able to do so, I worked on F-18s, and the times were the most significant for me were when I was on aircraft carriers. I served on two carriers, the USS Dwight D. Eisenhower and the USS Theodore Roosevelt, and I did two deployments on those ships. And let me tell you, when you're on the flight deck, there's just this immense amount of, like, you know, just self-respect and self-worth that just ebbs up because you realize that you're doing something significant. Now, part of those goosebumps could have been the fact that I thought I was going to die, but that's neither here nor there. It's still a very dangerous place to be. But it really bolstered something in me. I really valued the work. And here's the thing. You can do the same thing. If you build a company, you have probably experienced the same thing. If you work with your hands and you've got to the end of a job, or maybe you build houses and you get to the end of a big construction job, you just build a house, and you sit back and you're like, wow, I did that. That's amazing. That just does so much for us emotionally, building up our self-worth and self-respect. Also, just the ability of working together. Men, we need to learn how to do this better, to work together. Many times at work, that's the only time that men actually function in a work environment together. Many times that's the only one. We need to learn how to work together and to rely upon one another. Work is a great way of doing that. And just as I pointed out earlier, work is a great avenue for just loving your neighbor. Just loving your neighbor. If, like for me, I pushed a toolbox around after I got out of the Navy. And so I pushed a toolbox around a hangar for several years. And it was great. And it was just an opportunity for me to share. I worked second shift for the most part, and I worked with the same guys. They knew me, they knew who I was, they knew my story. Some of them liked me, some of them didn't. The feelings were mutual for some of them. But at the end of the day, it was a way for me to love my neighbor, to just kind of be with these guys and not be a jerk, and to be nice and to work with them and to give them my best work when I was with them, and to respect them, and not to bluff my way through things. Maybe I didn't know how to do something. I didn't bluff my way through it. I knew that the way that I was going to get better at my work was by asking questions. So I would ask questions about it. Hey, I don't know how to fix this. I don't know how to do this. I don't know how to understand this schematic. Could you please break down this fluid chart for me? Could you please show me how to take this apart so I don't break it? Just a great opportunity for me to ask questions and to reciprocate that the kind of just the male bonding relationship. And it was a great way for me to love my neighbor. Well, so then you may be thinking, well, why does work seem like work? Why is it? Why did Mark Twain once say, work is a necessary evil to be avoided, is what he said. Although there may be days when we feel like it, we feel like, you know, that he must have been right. And, you know, we may feel like that from time to time. And there's a really good explanation for this. But I want you to know that we do have a better way of viewing our work. because of the fall, and this you can find this in the Bible in Genesis 3, because of the fall, there's a curse that's been put upon the ground, and in it, this part of this curse was making our work more like painful toil. And now we sweat for a living, and we realize that we're sweating, and we get tired, and all we have the struggle of work. So when you feel that you know, that Monday morning blues, and you're like, oh, I got to go to work again, you're experiencing the fall. That's what you're experiencing. When you have that, oh my goodness, I really wish I was doing something else, and your attitude starts to shift, or maybe you go on lunch break and you're like, I really wish I could just go home today, and you're fighting that, and your attitude becomes corrosive towards your work, that is the curse that was because of the fall from Genesis 3. So what I want us to do is I want us to have a way of recovering our work for the glory of God and understanding that this is part of our calling. So here's a couple more scriptures to kind of add into your intellectual and spiritual portfolio to help build these pillars up. So 1 Corinthians 10:31 says this, whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. So whatever you do, wow, that's a big statement that like reaches into every aspect of life. Whatever you do intellectually, whatever you do relationally, whatever you do physically, whatever you do spiritually, do it for the glory of God. Not the glory of you, the glory of God, whatever you do. Think about how immense that challenge is. That whatever you do it for the glory of God. That means the way that you parent, you should be parenting for the glory of God. The way that you work out, you should be working out for the glory of God. The way that you take care of your body through nutrition, by not eating garbage, it should be done for the glory of God. The way that you spend your time is to the glory of God. The way that you spend your money is to the glory of God. Everything should be done to the glory of God. Even the way that you have physical intimacy with your wife should be done to the glory of God. Think about this. That too should be done to the glory of God. Also, in Ecclesiastes 9:10, this is what a really wise person said. He said, whatever your hands find to do, do it with all your might. In other words, work hard at it. Whatever you find your hands to do, whatever it is that you've landed in this work. Maybe you don't even like your work. Maybe you resent the fact that you're at that work, but your attitude needs to change to where now you're not just doing it for you, not to satisfy that bad attitude or what your boss said or the bottom line. Instead, when you do it to the glory of God, and now you are whatever you put your hand to do, then you can do it with all your might. You can go into it with full intensity. This creates some obvious problems. I mean, work does. A lot of times with men, we fall into some traps. We fall into some traps of just chasing success. Like I started at the beginning of this podcast, it's just chasing success. And oftentimes, I'm just telling you, you start down the line of chasing success and you're going to leave people behind. You're not going to love your wife well, your kids well, your friends well. You're just not. You're going to run right away from them and you're going to pursue success. And it may bring some money and it may be some short-lived fun, but let me tell you, the end of that road is a road of loneliness. Also, it's chasing what success brings. So with work, it's whatever that success brings. Maybe you want that to feed your ego because you want to be the boss, so everybody looks at you. So you only go to work thinking, how can I climb the ladder? How can I be the man? That's not the best way to approach your work. Maybe you look at it for what success brings. It's like, I just work. It's a necessary evil. And now the only reason I do this is because I want to spend X amount of dollars on this. I want to go and take all these trips. There's nothing wrong with spending money on something that you enjoy or taking a trip. But if you simply look at your work as a way of just a way to seek pleasure, that too is going to end up in emptiness, not wholeness. Obvious problems exist in this realm too. Just the cost of being a workaholic. Just men living at work. This primarily, I think, this goes back to another passage in the New Testament here in Ephesians 5. It says that man's primary need is respect, And a woman's primary need is love. Now, we both need those, but it says primarily it's men need respect. And I think the reason why a lot of men go to work and they stay at work is because they feel more respected at work than they do at home. So they have somebody there in the office stroking their ego. Maybe it's the secretary, maybe it's a coworker, maybe it's just that person who stops in to drop off supplies, whoever it is. But you tend to be a workaholic just to make sure you hang around to get that stroke of that ego, just so you can kind of feel good about yourself in that way. But this is not the path to wholeness. This is another path to emptiness. Because if you are a workaholic, you're going to spend all of your time there, and the people who you love the most at home that you should be showing up for, leading in the ways that you need to lead, and providing for and protecting in the ways that you need to be protecting, you're not going to be doing those things adequately because you're at work. And we pat it, don't we? We pat it and say, well, we need money so we can buy more things. And then men, we just need to be wise to say no. And sometimes you don't need to have that extravagant lifestyle. You need to throttle that back some and say, no, we could do that, but I would rather have this time alone. I would rather have this time at home with you, with the family, rather than spend at work so that we can buy that little trinket or toy that for that trip that we get to take every 3 months, but yet you have to work, 12-hour shifts 6 days a week to get it. That's not the life that's really on offer here, and that's not the best thing that is for you or your family. Sometimes when it comes to work, it's just laziness. It's the exact opposite. It's just lazy. And I just want to tell you, if you're not working right now and you're happy with not working, shame on you. You need to get to work. For every reason in this podcast and many more that are not going to be mentioned, you need to get to work. You need to step up and you need to be the man. You need to provide. You need to stop making excuses why you can't or you just don't feel like it, or you're not qualified, or you're overqualified, or you just don't want that job because it's beneath you. Get over it, man. I'm going to be blunt with you. Get over it and get over yourself and go get a job. Go hustle. Go get that job. Stop being lazy. You're not being a great man if you're being lazy. And another challenge that comes with work is not really related to any of the other ones, but it's just changing jobs. Statistically, right now, I found this really interesting. The National Bureau of Labor Statistics, they said, the question that I was resonating with, how many jobs will people have before they retire? And I was really shocked that it was this many jobs. So the answer for men was that men will have in the range of 12.5 jobs before they retire. And among the jobs held by workers ages 25 to 34, the median length of tenure in a position is 2.8 years. From ages 35 to 40, the median job duration is 4.9 years, and from 45 to 54, the median tenure at a job is 7.6 years. Median tenure rose, it rises up to 10.1 years for workers that are 55 and 64. And I think there's a bunch of good reasons why that is the case. And younger people, they're trying to figure out who they are, and they're trying to figure out what their purpose is. So you have to kind of work through a bunch of things and maybe become unsettled. Maybe they got some bad advice. Maybe they were told that, hey, I have to go to college to get a job. And then you went to college and you spent that awesome 5-6 years for a 4-year degree. And then you got out with a, liberal arts degree that you can't do anything with. And now you're having to, shift around and do all of that. And then it got me thinking, well, in the span of my life, how many different jobs have I had? I don't have the exact total, but I can tell you some of the jobs that I've had. I have worked at McDonald's. I did that in high school. The Navy, like I mentioned. I worked at Hollywood Video. That was a terrible job. I did that. I had to wear this rockin' bow tie, red bow tie, and red cummerbund. It was as embarrassing as it sounds. I sold jewelry. I sold shoes. Al Bundy was my hero in that time. I was actually pretty good at selling shoes, ironically. After that, I worked at a janitor at a department store that later was bought out by Macy's. That was a disgusting job. Then after that, I graduated from college and then went into the industry, in the aviation industry. Worked for a couple different, worked for a service facility, and then I worked for a corporate flight department for a few years, back to the same service center, and then after that is when actually I went into doing what I'm doing now, into ministry. So I've had several different jobs kind of pinging back and forth, and in some of those jobs I enjoyed, some of them didn't, but I want you to be encouraged no matter where you are or whatever reasons that you've had for changing your jobs. I want you to know that you can work even in a ridiculous job. Thankfully, Hollywood Video isn't around anymore. Thank you, Netflix. Thank you, Amazon Prime, for destroying this, and Hulu and all the rest of them. But you can even work a job like Hollywood Video and do it to the glory of God. You can be a trash man for the glory of God in caring for the world, taking care of the world. Same thing we talked about at the onset of the podcast. Lord God took the man and he put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and care for it. So anytime that you're working for the glory of God, or you're taking care of God's creation, you're doing a good work and God is glorified by it. So as I finish out this podcast, I realize that I've said a lot and you probably need to go back and take some notes. I will put this in the show notes and in the sourcing also. But I want to give you 10 different action items from this episode. The first action item is this: pursue mastery of your work. Gain the most skill and education and experience you possibly can. Pursue mastery of your work. God is going to be glorified when you pursue mastery of your work. Also, work as if you're working for God, not men. Work as if you're working for God, not men. Third takeaway, don't compartmentalize your work. Don't compartmentalize your work. Fourth, be happy that you get to work, that you have that opportunity. Many people don't have the opportunity to work and they wish they could. Don't squander your opportunity if you can. Be happy that you get work. Fifth takeaway, don't settle for less than your best. You should be pursuing excellence in everything. Don't settle for less than your best. And your best changes as you gain more mastery. So as you gain more skill and education and experience, your level of excellence is going to rise. So don't settle for less than your best. Sixth takeaway, work ethically, morally, and be generous with your earnings. So work ethically and morally, and be generous with your earnings. Seven, make yourself indispensable. In other words, you should be gaining such a level of mastery in your work that you're indispensable for your workplace. That you're indispensable so that they see you and they say, wow, he is so useful and resourceful, and I know that he's reliable. He shows up on time. He leaves when he's supposed to. He doesn't steal company time. He doesn't steal company dollars, and he doesn't steal company things. Make yourself indispensable. Eight, do not be afraid to give knowledge away. One of the big errors of men is to hoard knowledge. And in the process of hoarding the knowledge, what we're actually doing is missing an opportunity to develop the men around us. So don't be afraid to give knowledge away. Great men share what they've learned. Poor men hoard what they've learned. Be a great man. The ninth takeaway, don't judge another generation's work patterns. Don't judge another generation's work patterns. The upcoming generations, they see the world differently than we do, and they see it better than we do in this regard. They're not content with just working largely, and I'm just speaking very generally. They're not content with just working meaningless jobs. They're pursuing jobs that have meaning And that even if they're not glorifying God, they're trying to bring good into the world. They're less concerned with buying the latest and greatest. They're more concerned with living a life of purpose. And I believe that the greatest purpose that someone can have is living to the glory of God and the good of the world. So don't judge another generation's work patterns. They're probably going to be different than yours. And that's okay. Look at the strengths that they have to offer. And if you see the strengths that they have to offer, maybe tap into some of their strengths instead of relying upon your past strengths. And last, and I get this from Jordan Rayner in his podcast, which is a great, great listen. He said, passion follows mastery. Passion follows mastery. Passion, that enthusiasm, that inner drive. Passion follows mastery. See, we often get this backwards. We think, well, once we master it, then we're going to become passionate about it. And what he contends, and I agree with him, that passion follows mastery. As you master it, then you're going to become more you're going to become more passionate about it because you have skin in the game. And if you're doing these other things, you're going to be passionate about your work because you're not simply doing it for you. You're doing it for God. And you're doing it for the good of the world. You see, this is what great men do. My hope is that we would become great men. I don't have all this figured out. Do I have bad days? Of course. And I have the job that everybody, you know, they would think, well, he never has a bad day. He's a pastor. He does what he loves. He's quote unquote living his calling. And they think, oh, and you know, he does a new kind of man on the podcast and the Instagram and the private Facebook group. You know, well, he leads the new man crew on Facebook, and he's the one who has it together. Let me tell you, I'm a work in progress, just as much as you are, and just as much as you've probably been challenged by some of the things that I've said. Let me tell you, I have been challenged as I've been saying these and preparing this. All of this is a great challenge because, once again, the ground that we walk on has been cursed. So because of that, we're going to have to become more disciplined and more intentional so that we can glorify God and bring good in the world by our work. Man, I hope that this podcast has been helpful for you. Again, please share it with a friend if you feel compelled to do so. Leave an honest review, and hopefully it's a good review in iTunes. I have a shortage of reviews there. Drop a 5-star rating and put a review in there. Let me know what you got out of this podcast. Let me know what your main takeaway was. And here's the thing. If you disagree with some of the things on this podcast, tell me on Instagram. Tell me. Go to A New Kind of Man on Instagram, and you either drop it in one of the comments on one of my posts, or you send me a DM. You let me know. Or better yet, send me an email at chat@beanewman.com. If you disagree or you agree with what I've said, and there's been something here that's impacted you, I'd love to hear your story. As a matter of fact, with your permission, I would love to share your story for other men to be inspired by what's happening in you. You see, we're all in this together. This message needs to be sent out because the work of a new kind of man is rooted in the four pillars that are physical, intellectual, spiritual, and relational. And when a man gets it, everybody gets it. And when a man gets it and he becomes great, then we can build great marriages and great families and great communities and great nations. And we, out of all those great things that are happening, we can change the world together. Well, gents, until next time, I hope you have a great rest of your day. Hopefully you've been impacted. You've gotten your little charge from this podcast. I'll see you next time, and thank you for listening.
Thanks for listening to the New Kind of Man podcast. You've been given some good manly encouragement, and now it's your turn. If you found today's content helpful, go tell a friend, and please leave us a review. Also, consider hitting that subscribe button so you don't miss a single episode. Now it's time for all of us to do what Theodore Roosevelt said. Create. Act. Get action. Do things. Be sane. Don't fritter away your time. Take a place wherever you are and be somebody. Get action.